become that perception or the reality of that point.
Well, I can understand a lot of it because, number one, a lot of folks think that maybe it's just a tourist type of thing, you know, because they see Alaska Marine Highway get advertised all over them. You know, like a tourist mission and stuff like that. There are benefits far beyond even what we get. And I think one of the best one I can think of, I believe Eric McDowell did a study of just how many of these folks that come out and want to do the Southeast Inside Passage Tour, they get off at the Haines and drive up to the interior.
facility?
Just a bag someplace that people are waiting.
You mean on the ferry itself? Okay. Mr. Ayers?
Now, I don't know. There's probably more that we can do, but there is a sick bay area, up by the Purser's area on Boeing 235, the Aurora and the Leconte. And we have sometimes used there's a separate room that has been used for that very purpose. And I don't know if you've taken a look at it or if the VA's taken a look at it, but you might take a look at that. And if you have suggestions about how we could put different equipment on there or make that room more medically sound or provisioned environment, we'd certainly be willing to do that. And we have at different times had people do that, and we always have at least two people on board that have been through EMT training. We're doing some more of that right now as new people are coming on and making that requirements. But if you have suggestions of what else you'd like to see in that sick bay area, we're certainly able to. We have had physicians take a look at it, but if there's something specific down here that somebody has in mind, I'm certain we'd accommodate it.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Mr. Chairman?
Ma'am, Representative Bloomberg?
I don't know hopefully you can hear me. I'm one of the representatives from Anchorage, and I don't know a lot about the ferry system down here, so pardon me if some of the questions I ask are very basic questions. My question is, how much does it cost to get from here to Ketchikan on the ferry, and how often does the ferry run?
Depends which month. Depends which time of year.
Well, let's say in the winter time. Let's say around now.
Depends on how old you are.
And how often does it run?
Right now?
Yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Twice a week.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Does the double bump on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay.
In the summertime?
Every day.
$65, you ride for a week.
Yeah.
You pay $5.
And in the summertime, how often does it run?
Every day. In the summertime, we have more frequent ferries, 5, 6, 7 days a week. Recently, in the past, sometimes we've only had ferries. It generates anywhere from 1 day to 7 days, depending on what time of the year and the condition of the ships and overhaul, that kind of stuff.
Very infrequent. In the winter time, is the ferry usually full or is it pretty empty?
It depends what time of year. It's
Is the cost, does the cost of the ferry trip put it beyond the financial reach of a lot of the people around here?
One further comment, Representative Greenberg, in regards to the number of traffic. There are 32 ports that the ferry system serves, and Hollis is the fifth busiest port. Should we have more service, we may become the fourth or the third. You don't have ferries, you don't have traffic, so.
I figured that out.
Thank you, Mr. Walton.
It's not just passengers, it's
the
passengers.
We can have these two. Yeah, we get three. And that's what I was explaining. We have two.
Is the cost of things like groceries, a common market basket, stuff like that, is it a lot more expensive to live here than it is, say, in Ketchikan?
Cheaper than Juneau.
They got us.
According to the commissioner, it's cheaper than Juneau. Thank you, Mrs. Wallstead.
Thank you.
You get that better than
Clean your
hair.
Terminal. And it is very hard to
going to try to get Dale to answer the first question. Do you know about that, the work on the...
96.
Is it 96? Yeah. It's, I'm sure it's projected. I just can't remember when.
But there's another man here I think that will make testimony to, and he's more involved in it than, more involved in it than I am, but I wanted to let everybody know that it's something that we definitely need. Hollis is growing too. We have 108 people in the census this year, so we're having problems there. The other thing I wanted to suggest to Jim Aaron, although Bonnie didn't seem to think it was a lot, was that we have a pickup. $2 more to go to Wrangell, which is basically a 6 or 8 hour trip. And so that constitutes that our fares are a little high for local people that ride the fares. It just seems like it's a lot. And also the fact that you can walk on and rent a car in Ketchikan for $39.95 when it costs you $88 round trip to take your pickup. It seems that maybe some way they can evaluate this and make it so that us frequent users can have a discount, or the local people, the Prince of Wales Island people that are going to town for different purposes could have some kind of a discount. Maybe a coupon book, something like that, where you would have your money in the bank. You would have it there, and we could use our little coupons or something. But I feel that that is a real important part. We're all used to paying mass conference prices for things, and I know that people don't probably think that $120 round trip for two people in a pickup and a baby is a lot to go, but you have to realize it's a 2.5 hour ferry trip. That's a pretty expensive trip, or five hours total. And I feel that maybe it could be evaluated just a little bit. We all know that it's real treacherous between Ketchikan and Craig. I've had several people go down to planes. We all had friends that had to fly and couldn't make it, lost their lives for it. And Keith and I have worked together, like I said, for quite some time, and other pilots, and there's always the possibility of airplane crashes. There's a real need, they feel, and I feel, working for Ketchikan Air, and I've also worked for other airlines companies, that, and I know that the main priority is the airport. Everybody wants the airport to be, we need jet service here. We do need it. It's totally important. But for future reference, this is something that John Scribner, we've written to him about and heard from him about, and that is a wheel plane, some type of wheel plane landing strip in the Hollis area, Hollis and Sand area somewhere. It happens to be leave the Kuwak Airport, they go to Ketchikan, they can't land, they're blocked out. They have to return, and they have no place to land. It gets to the point where they have no fuel, and they need a place to land. And they, for the last, 6-7 years, everybody that ever talked to says, we need a place to land, it's wheel planes. And so, in the future, if it could be possible, and I know it's been talked about through Southeast of emergency landing strip, when planes are in trouble and out of gas, they need a place to land. And it's something that is very viable and it's very important.
Okay, I'd like to ask the commissioner to respond to that. Commissioner, for your information, Hollis is between Ketchikan and the airport that we landed at there.
This is one I do know the answer to. What, as you probably are aware, we tried to do is to take land that had been cut and some of the old logging roads that were in there and just spruce that up enough so it would do as an emergency airport. The Forest Service balked at that because of the liability. if anybody tried to land and didn't make it, why they were afraid that they would be liable for the accident because it's on their land. And these legal things that cause unfortunate things not to be done is the reason that we haven't been able to do that. We're still trying. I think it's certainly a need and a great idea to do it. That's the thing that held it up.
Is there anything that we can do as air taxi company or whatnot to help sway the forces with their ideas?
Ask John about that and see what we can put together.
I would appreciate
but
that. Thank you very much.
Certainly makes a lot of sense to try to have that.
Thank you.
Yes, we have some immunity legislation. Could that be reasonable? If it's an emergency.
Paulson, thank you.
No, you're
right.
Welcome.
My name is
John
Goldstein.
I'm
from Kansas Schools here.
That's my lawyer here.
I'd like to echo most of the things that other people said.
I think they have
especially Mr. Gerber's comments about school traffic safety.
Yeah, Mr. Holtz. With respect to the children going officially on trips and stuff on the ferries, is that a much of a cost for your local school budget?
Very similar to the $60,000 figure that you got from Mr. Burgers. Our districts are very, very similar in the kinds of activities we participate in.
So it costs you about $60 a year?
Yes, roughly.
I see. And
it's a significant expenditure.
Do the school districts pay full fare for these students? Do they get any break? Is there any kind of a arrangement?
On Alaska Airlines there is, but there's...
I'm talking about on the ferry system.
Oh, on the ferry system, yes. There's a student fare. It's half price if we have more than five students.
Ask them how much of the fare is on the ferry system.
That's business one thing.
Go ahead. I think in this slide.
I was just wondering what percentage of the $60,000 is fares actually paid on the ferries, and how much of it is other travel?
It's mostly other travel. Partly because we don't get to use the ferries that often. And the other reason is that it is not that great a cost for us to use the ferry. We would love it when leaving the island. We would always use the ferry if we had that option. We would never fly.
I misunderstood. I thought that you were saying you spent $60 on the ferries.
No, not anywhere near that. That takes care of our entire travel budget.
I see. Could you give me any ballpark estimate on the ferries?
Would you like to provide us that information? I certainly could do that.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't exceed $5,000 or $6,000 a year.
That's good enough
and
for
like
me.
Like I said, we will check and give you an exact figure, but I guess it
would
be
Mr. Holson, would also be helpful is perhaps if we could get that information from the other school districts on the island. And if you were able to show us how much you have to spend on air travel off the island, which could be actually savings if you were able to travel on a more frequent ferry service, that has a big impact also.
Right. Well, we chartered the Tri-Island. Population bigger than Wrangell's and Petersburg put together. It just seems
Just one question. Is the ferry ever so full that you can't get your produce on?
No, but we pre-book our, you know, in well enough in advance because we, you know, we just know, but there are people left behind because our produce gets on.
So the opposite.
Is that what you had in mind, Max?
Either way.
I did have one other thing that I had forgotten about. For years, we tried to serve the people of the island with a freight service, a truck service, and fortunately, Dennis and Joni Coons came along and took that burden over, and it's wearing them pretty thin now, I think. The highway system that links the island has long been really neglected, I think, by the state. I can remember for years, the state's policy was, well, Thorne Bay is a logging camp, so we really can't maintain the road to Thorne Bay because when LPK gives the word, they're going to disappear. Well, LPK disappeared and Thorne Bay didn't. So the people of this island are, you know, they're Alaskan citizens like you. They're here to live here. They love it, and this is their home. They invest some years in a place. They're not just going to pack up and leave Kaufman Cove and a lot of places, Nocatee, Loud Bay, places on this island, people are there to stay. And if the state would take the approach, hey, these are our people, let's maintain the road. If they disappear, well, maybe we will quit maintaining the road. But until then, let's get these people the basic services that they deserve. Thanks.
Thank you. Mrs. O'Connor, before you start, I'd like to have Mr. Ayers respond to your question as to why the mainline ferries don't come into Hollis.
Well, we do consider the Taku a mainline ferry. The Taku can't get in. As you probably know, the Taku is a 352, 352 feet long. So is the Malaspina and the Matanuska when the keel was originally laid. But they have been stretched and added to. They're now 408s. And they are not, at this time, deemed to be safely capable of handling the waters and coming around and into the dock at Hollis. There's some question about what it would take in order to provide that. So the first issue is an issue of what it would take to, and there's a great debate among some of the masters and even others about what that buoy is there for. And it is more than a rock. We've sent divers down, and we're doing some more research now to see what it would do to take that out. But that actually is an extension of a ledge there off of that point right there. And so we're looking at what it would take to blow that out. But it's not a rock that we can have a satellite laser take out very easily. The second issue, however, is also an issue. If we could figure out how to do that, and we could get the mainline in there, then there is the question of what about the 2 to 3 hours of difference. And any time somebody gets more, somebody else gets less. There's a great debate, as you probably know right now, between Petersburg and Wrangell, who are ganging up on Sitka to try and say that we ought not to be sending the Columbia into Sitka, both north and south, in the summertime. And that has really come to be quite a pressure point at my desk. And of course, there's no way that I can win that issue. But the time and that particular navigation problem into Hollis are the two reasons that the mainline vessels do not come in here except for the Taku. And we're going to try and do something about the Taku schedule next winter at this time so you can get the Taku, try to get the Taku in here more than she currently comes in. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ayers. He said one of those laser things probably couldn't move the rock, but maybe a Scud missile could work on that.
run for the House.
Representative Hudson was director of the ferry system, I believe, when we had the Chilcat, so they promoted him to House of Representatives. No. Specifically on the ferry system or general transportation? Mr. Ayers first and then Commissioner Turk.
Cool.
Here's an extra copy. Do you want to just give me a copy?
Actually, the answer is, until the legislature has made its final determination about what's going to happen, there's no way for us to anticipate, I think, what the outcome of the budget for the ferry system is going to be. That is certainly, under the Constitution, the responsibility and full authority.
really, no, it is. We're not avoiding the question, Mr. Connor. The governor has not submitted his budget to the legislature as of yet, and you know, that's something that we will analyze immediately once it's received, and DOT will get its allocation for dollars. And I'm sure the commissioner, by being here, is listening to our concerns, and hopefully he will factor some of these things into the budget.
Well, don't look at me. Look at the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mrs. Can I just get a showing of hands of those individuals that wish to still testify? Okay, I see anywhere from 8 to 10. I'd like to, again, ask that we perhaps limit our comments to about 5 minutes if possible, so we can accommodate everybody in three to 5 minutes. Mr. Williams?
Put my big watch in front of me. I got 5 minutes. It's 9 o'clock right now. Welcome to Great Glowacan Highway. Welcome to Prince of Wales Island. It's about time we saw all of you here. It's good. And I want to wake you guys up. That's why I like to see you guys smile. These are friendly people.
That's really stuff. I realize we're going to have some emotional testimony here. Now, can you state your name for the record?
Okay, I'll get to that. My name is James Williams.
Thank you.
I sit on several committees, and I hear all these wishes, these things that we want for Prince of Wales Island, and they're all important, and I got six of them right here on my paper. Six of them that's really important. I'm going to start off with the Coast Guard system for the Prince of Wales Island. Right now we're at the mercy of Sitka and Ketchikan. In the neighborhood of 1,200 fishing boats come out here to Prince of Wales Island, the west coast. Jerry knows that. Okay, I'm going to give you a little incident that took place about maybe 5 years ago. Jerry knows it. We had an accident out there at Doyle's Island, and my cousin, he was the one that drowned it. The boat flipped over, the skip flipped over. We were in the process of giving the man artificial all the way from the fishing ground to the anchorage. It's about 45 minutes, something like that. But we got in contact with the Coast Guard. Okay, the Coast Guard finally came from Ketchikan, came to the anchorage there. And we kept on saying, come on, land in the water, land in the water. Now these Coast Guard boats are planes, or helicopters are supposed to land in rough weather. They stayed up above. They kept on instructing us, don't stop the mouth-to-mouth, artificial. We didn't stop. And we waited at the helicopter to come down. They wouldn't come down. They sent the basket down. Now who's gonna ride the basket up with the guy? We lost it. That's one incident. Another incident pertaining to the Coast Guard. All right, we just had a miracle about 2-3 years ago. A wife and a husband drifted around for 5 days out here in the Noise Island area, Carnation Island. All right, for 5 days, that couple drifted in a 16-foot boat. We're in the mercy of one helicopter Coast Guard from Sitka and Ketchikan. The point I'm getting at is that Prince of Wales Island needs a Coast Guard helicopter here in our own airport, because in the neighborhood of 2,000 people in the summertime is in the mercy of getting help. Okay, now tonight I heard people talking about, okay, I'm with the business here. Okay, they're depending on the ferry system, the food's coming over and all that. Hey, we've been asking, why don't we get a regular barge coming from Seattle directly right to this channel right now? If you go tomorrow, go out there by the cliffs and look down the channel there, and you'll see three big ships. Why can't one of those barges come in here and take care of our island here with all our produce and stuff like that, and then we won't have so much garbage being dumped away, food being dumped away. That's the thing I'm getting at. Okay, the other thing I'm getting at, I'm rushing here because I see somebody really falling asleep there. housing in the neighborhood of 60 homes is coming to this island. I work for TNH, that's Tlingit and Haida housing, all right? Heidelberg is getting 20, Craig's getting 20, Kluwak's getting 20, and they're already in the process of getting built. The point I'm getting across is that, hey, we are getting overloaded on this island now. We need our road system taken care of. All right, give you another example. This road between Craig and Kluwak, that cliffs. How many times this winter the cliffs came down? How many times the trees came down on top of the road and the lights? How many times this year? 3 to 4 times this year already. 5 times last year. Are we going to keep on waiting until a tree comes down on maybe a car full of kids? Are we going to wait until the cliffs come down on somebody? These are, when you drive by there, you guys, tomorrow you look at it, when you're looking at it, two ducks, one shot, you look at the channel and see the boat, and then you look at the cliffs and you see what I'm talking about. All right, the other thing that I wanted to get across here was the villages, all right? There's 22 villages here in southeastern Alaska. We've been having conventions right and left, all right? And I attended two of them already. I've been a delegate to two of them. And their biggest question was, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just get a ferry system and the whole town could come and participate in these conventions? The kids could come, the families, the grandmas, the uncles, everybody could come to participate in these activities that the villages are putting on. Right now, Metcalfe is going to be celebrating their 100th celebration and all that. One ferry system. Everybody's going to be in the mercy of the planes. What I'm saying is that, hey, let's look at these 22 villages in southeastern Alaska and try to work on something so they could come to Prince of Wales Island. I even sat on the Prince of Wales Advisory Committee, and they were even talking about putting one port up at Point Baker. Yes, so Wrangell, Petersburg, Angoon, Huda, just come across, coming all the way down to Ketchikan and come around. Come right up there, because we have road systems now, and if we can take care of our road system, they can come down here and participate in Craig, Kluwak, and Heidelberg, or whatever, Kaufman Cove, whatever is taking place on the island here, they can do that. I thank you, men. It's good to see you guys again. Hey, come back. And tomorrow, hey, come in. Tomorrow, if you guys don't take off, tomorrow, as you guys heard, is Elizabeth Kranovich Day. You heard about that. Our one of our ladies, members that
just might make a comment in regard to your comments about Dale Kubik. Dale, who's sitting here, is the manager or the superintendent of the Highway Maintenance Department that serves the whole island. I did take the commissioner and the committee out today to meet him and the employees. They have six people that maintain all the roads on the island that are state roads, day and night, as Dennis was talking about. But on the way to the airport this morning from the Capitol, Representative Lehman was sitting by me, and we went by these three highway employees in orange jumpsuits, and there was three of them all standing together looking at a manhole cover or something. And he says, "Oh, look at those guys there. They're all looking at a manhole cover." And I said, "Those three guys represent half of the workforce that takes care of all of Prince of Wales Island, so we do appreciate those efforts." Next.
So we're looking at a phrase in the
about
Dale, do you know anything?
No, that's the hole up right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Mickelson, we will analyze that question and provide that information for you. I'll see you.
Raised here and can't imagine living anywhere else because they haven't seen any place better. Figley's my name. I don't know if I have enough copies to go around, but you can share them here.
We'll pass them, yeah, sure.
Okay. And I'm a civil engineer. I work for the state of Alaska, and during the construction season on construction jobs, I'm here tonight representing the community of Hollis, the community of Hollis, a nonprofit corporation that functions in the local government. There's two things that we wanted to bring to your attention. The first one is the floatplane dock, which you see is what I've given the information on. That's the original letter that we sent to DOT on it, and reading it got into the agenda for 96. I brought that to give you some maps and show you a little bit about where it is. It's approximately to the ferry terminal. On the road itself, the connection between the two is only about 500 feet there. You could walk off the ferry boat and clear to the, you can walk down the float plane ramp and you'd have walked less than a quarter of a mile. So it's foot traffic to tie the two together. As a community, the community would like to see that float plane dock go in. We feel that this would service the whole island and act as a safety valve for inclement weather. You can fly from there to Ketchikan in approximately 20 minutes and never go over a 20-foot ceiling if you want to. You stay right on the fly. Get rid of the problem of flying through the pass. Inclement weather, the airlines route their freight passengers and float planes instead of trying to fly built planes. But the project as it is right now, from the word we got back from DOT, does not include any kind of boat facility. And one of my jobs, I worked on that ferry terminal expansion here 2 years ago. There are times when there are boats tied up to that ferry terminal float 3 and 4 deep, you know, on the inside of the dolphins. And that's what's being used for a boat facility in the wintertime when the existing boat facility freezes up. But this isn't a safe situation for the boaters or for the people using the ferry. So we would really like to see a boat dock included with that facility. And this would tie the road systems, the ferries, float planes all together. It seems to me to be a real good, if there was a first class facility there, it would be a real good way of solving a lot of transportation problems without a large expense. The other thing that I want to talk about was on the ferry system. No comment as far as the quantity or quality of service. Comments that I wanted to bring were on the cost of going from this island to Ketchikan. It seems like there was a little innovative thinking that those costs would be brought down for local users. For example, round trip fares that where the user would go on a standby basis until the boat was filled up. The boat's sailing half empty, you've got low cost fare. Go ahead and put them on, but in so doing, you have to guarantee a return trip. So this is the only thing people set to catch can. Possibly selling tickets in bulk, round trip tickets in bulk. The system will gain this money ahead of time. People of the island get a break on their what they pay, and I believe create a better public feeling rapport between the fair system and the public service.
Those were the only 2 points I had. I wanted to thank you for
being here. Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman. Representative Greenberg? Yeah, I would just like to, I don't know, maybe another member of the committee or the gentleman who just testified would know. Are there any federal funds that are available for that type of facility, construction of that type of facility? I know there are for improvements of boat harbors and things like that, but I'm wondering, for a combination float plane facility, and if they're using it for tie-ups for small boats, if they're federal funds, Corps of Engineers assistance for stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think
it's, so. By statute, the state administers and funds all airplane floats as well as harbors in the state.
With one exception.
But there's federal
funds.
There is one exception. There have been a couple places where causeways that also turn out to be breakwaters, and then they end up putting a float with that. That has occurred, and that's Corps of Engineer and some federal money. That's the only time I've ever known that to work.
This one, okay. Not here, but what's called
given?
Turning bases. Up to that.
Well, my name is Given. City Councilman here, Greg. Thank you.
state surplus and those funds went straight to the general fund. You have to
described something that I have tried to express up north, and that is this is part of the social fabric of southeastern Alaska. It's more than just in Anchorage, the Seward Highway. It's a part of your community to me. And it's a part of the enjoyment, the appreciation, and the stability and the security. And you have to be in Hollis to hear that boat come in. You have to be there the happy, sad times when your friends go away, or your family, or your relatives who have visited from outside. So it's more than just a conveyor of people here and there. It's an essential ingredient in how you live and how we live in our state. I wanted to share that with you because it's one of the fondest memories that I have when I first came to Alaska. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, do we have another member of the public that wishes to speak?
No, he relayed his comments to me.
Thanks.
Representative Phillips.
Thanks. Well, in listening to you folks tonight, I heard some real bright spots. And I know you're under a tremendous amount of pressure right now to get some of these transportation problems settled. But, you know, when you have growth like you have experienced in the last few years, there comes a tremendous amount of responsibility for providing services for that growth. And that's where you folks are right now. One idea that came to mind as you were speaking, and one idea that somebody brought up, and I don't know if there has been any investigation of it or not, but